Brian Had a Dream, 10,000 movies, 40 years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000.
I'm Ben.
Brian.
And welcome to the quest for 10,000, our audio journey with Brian as he tries to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40. In this episode, it's the first of Brian's final 10 before he reaches 10,000. We'll be talking about the film Mary Poppins Returns and thinking also about Brian's top Oscar predictions for the 2019 Academy Awards. But before we get there, let me thank you again for downloading, listening, sharing this podcast with others. It's been fun for Brian and I just to chat away a little bit for all these episodes we've done, and we appreciate you giving us any sort of time to listen along. So, Brian, is there anything you want to say to thank anybody, the tens upon tens who are listening to this?
Don't get carried away. but for people that have been listening, you know, it has been a great way to sort of process and talk about and realize some things in the processing that I might not have realized that I went through. It's been sort of a fun little way to encapsulate the steps along the journey. So thank you very much for traveling along with us.
So Brian, let's dive right in. We know you are at movie 9,990, and Mary Poppins Return is 9,991. So I'm going to just turn it over to you and say, where do you want to start in talking about this film and why you decided it needed to be one of the final 10 of the 10,000 you watched?
Well, the biggest reason is just timing. You know, I'm finishing up now in December, and I know that it's as we go into the new year, and I knew that this movie was coming out now. Part of it is just that's when it came out. It came out at the right time. Because I wasn't going to wait weeks or months to see this, because as a kid, I grew up with Mary Poppins, and I was a little more than excited for a replay of it, and could take my son, and because I just showed him Mary Poppins within the past couple months, and so it was something that we were going to do no matter what.
You said something there that interests me. Was this, in your mind, more of a sequel to the original Mary Poppins? Was it a reboot? Was it a remake? Was it some combination of all of the above?
I mean, it's a bit of a... I mean, without Julie Andrews as Mary, it's going to be something of a reboot, because you're trying... And you can see that Disney wants there to be potentially more involvement or more movies with Emily as a titular Mary, although I think they left it where it could be fine ending the way it did. But it's also a sequel. I mean, because it's the Banks' children. It's not... They've grown up, and now it's the grandchildren of Mr. Banks from the original movie. So, and it's progressed 20 years, whatever it is. So it serves as both.
So what did you think? How did Emily Blunt compare to Julie Andrews, Lin-Manuel Miranda, to Dick Van Dyke, and just... the story as a whole, was it a satisfying sequel to the original? Was it as mesmerizing and endearing as that first film?
There were parts that were wonderful, and there were moments that were really, really good. Then there were some real misfires on a couple of things that I think they should have rethought before they did it. Like, I love Meryl Streep. And Meryl Streep in a Mary Poppins movie, great idea. But this particular part with her in it seemed a little too campy for me, and a little too much. I would have liked a little more, like, I guess less scene chewing than what she wound up doing there. I did love Angela Lansbury as the balloon lady. That was, fantastic. And bringing the house down was Dick Van Dyke returning and cutting a rug at 90-something years old. I mean, that was worth the price of admission. So some highlights, but then some mixed reviews on parts that I would have preferred to have cut.
And how did Emily Blunt do? Was she believable? Did she hold a candle? Was it like she was channeling Julie Andrews, or did she kind of make the part her own, did you think?
It was her. I mean, it was her own. I don't think, you know, she didn't bring anything new to it that meant that Julie Andrews didn't. In that sense, it wasn't a straight up copy of Julie's performance. So she brought it. She more than held her own. And I love Lin-Manuel. And his character was fine, but I do wish they kind of shoehorned in an odd sort of romance between his character and the Banks daughter, the old elder Banks daughter, the one from the first movie who's now a grown-up. And I thought that was just misplaced. Mary Poppins is not really a place where we expect nor really want romantic comedy. It just seems like that was unnecessary. And a layer that we could have done without in favor of more whimsy or more, you know, longer scene in the animated series, something beyond. But that's, you know.
Yeah, that was my question. I haven't seen it yet. But my kind of question, just sort of in thinking about it, was does Mary Poppins even really work as a character, a film in this day and age? Maybe they had a romantic subplot because of that. But I also wonder how it could even ever live up to the appreciation that the first movie had. Because anything that's done in this movie is just simply, it could be perfectly acted, perfectly executed, perfectly implemented, but it's not going to be nearly as groundbreaking as that first one was. It's not going to be nearly as magical because, you know, if for no other reason, it's been so long between the two, there's not a whole lot of new you can do, I think, with that character and that world.
Well, the one thing they have going for them is that she didn't just write one novel. So they have multiple novels, I think there's 6 or 7, to choose from. So they can, and they did, you know, I think the title, even Mary Poppins comes back at the title of the second book in the series. So,
well, sure, I get that. I get the story. I get the story.
And Cousin Topsy, who Meryl Streep plays, it was in the books as well. And it is a fine character. It's just the musical number there, like I said, just felt off to me. It just didn't feel like it was should have been there. But the overall movie, in a lot of ways, it hits the same, sort of the same beats that the first movie did in so many ways. And the director is an avowed, Rob Marshall is an avowed fan of the first film. And at one point, one of the early drafts of the script, I think, Lin-Manuel's Jack character asks Mary Poppins, how are you and how have you been? And she, in the early draft, she says, oh, I'm super califragilistic, you know, whatever. And they decided that was a little too much, rightfully so. Like I said, I'm a big fan, love the fact that anytime you can put older people from our childhood, older actors who, you know, don't get a lot of screen time anymore, like Angela Lansbury, Dick Van Dyke, and you can feature them in a way that is fresh and new and not just a pity kind of role, but also very, like, endearing of our nostalgia and that kind of thing. I love that. But I do wish that rather than maybe the Angela Lansbury is the balloon lady, maybe they could have gave her some little extra money and got Julie Andrews. She says she didn't want to be in the movie because she didn't want to take away from Emily Blunt. Understandable, that may be her position. But at the end of the day, you want to say it was probably about money or about, you know, something like that. And the movie would have been better served with her in it in some capacity. If you've got Dick back, I mean, a scene with the two, something, it would have been much, 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 much. It would have raised the whole tone of the movie up.
Yeah, I read that story, the other movie that came out when Mary Poppins Returns did, Aquaman. Julie Andrews, spoiler alert, is actually in that movie.
Yeah.
Doing a voiceover.
She could have done a voice for this movie. She didn't have to have a big part, just enough of a part to let it acknowledge. I mean, if you're going to go out, and they went out of their way to include Dick Van Dyke, right? I mean, they clearly, like, formulated this whole part of the plot just because they knew they had to have him back, right? Mm-hmm. So they could have done the same thing for her.
I think that's a little bit what I'm getting at, is that any film's going to suffer a bit by comparison just because it doesn't maybe have all those same actors, and the ones you do have are sort of invoking kind of the performances that came before. I think what I'm, and I know there can be new ground, again, characters that haven't been tapped yet from those original novels or storylines or what have you. There can be interesting ways of putting things together, sure. But it almost feels like, you know, Mary Poppins' film just is simply not going to be groundbreaking. The comparison I have in my head is sort of this. And it may not work for everybody, but I think about one of the criticisms of another entertainment medium you and I have had an appreciation with over the years, professional wrestling. And in professional wrestling, one of the criticisms of it in recent years has been, you know, after the, particularly the 90s, late 90s, 2000s, you have all these people doing all these aerial acrobatic things, and eventually they can't do anything else to outdo themselves. You kind of hit a ceiling or a law of diminishing returns, and you just can't do much else. And I wonder if Mary Poppins is kind of a character that may be sort of the same thing. I mean, it's just not as... it's not as breathtaking to do animation and live action together, I think, in the year 2018 and now 2019 as we record this, as it was back when the Julie Andrews movie came out.
Especially the way they did it then, and the way they did it in a similar way this time, what to kind of keep the tone of the original film. And that kind of style is certainly pales in comparison to what we now come to expect from even, you know, like just run-of-the-mill TV shows that have a bigger budget for that type of stuff than the whole of Mary Poppins did in 64. So yeah, you're right that the boundary for what is breathtaking has shifted considerably in 50 years, and you expect it to. The question is the character or the stories, are they evergreen enough to where they are still relatable in a way? And that's, you know, I think there were parts of it where absolutely that was true. I don't think the movie from start to finish for 2 hours was quite up to where I would have liked it to be. I think it could have used a little more careful planning and a little more little oomph in a couple places to put it in that level.
Now, you mentioned before you went to see this, when we talked, that Emily Blunt was getting some maybe Oscar buzz, award buzz. What's your take on that now, coming out of the movie and now critics?
I think it's. I mean, she was nominated for a Golden Globe. I think it's borderline if she makes it into the final field. You have some, you know, because one thing that happens with Academy Awards is you got 10 people that were Golden Globe nominated for Best Actress, either comedy or drama, and, you know, you have all sorts of what they call category fraud, where people that have no business being in the comedy category are in the comedy, that, you know that when it comes down to it, that's really a drama. And so, because in a true comedy, it's rare they're going to get nominated for an Oscar. But, you know, at any rate, you have 10 to 11 people that have, maybe up to 12 people that have a legitimate chance to claim that sort of mantle and have one of the 5 nominations. And so it's an uphill battle for her, but I think, I tend to think she'll get in just because I think some of the other movies that are more, probably more likely to win and get that kind of praise and be more critical darlings, they don't carry quite the cachet and storyline for the ceremony that Mary Poppins winning for a second time would.
Right.
So I think just to, you know, I think if you want, if the goal is to put on a show, which I know they can't tell people who to vote for, but I think in some ways they can. If the goal is to put on a show that people will want to watch, then you have to nominate the roles people wanted to see.
Well, and then you also have the potential storyline that both she and her husband could be nominated for the same award year and cycle. That'd be interesting too. That gives us a little bit towards our top 5 for this episode, but maybe before we get there, tell me, do you think there are any categories that Mary Poppins Returns maybe could be nominated for, particularly because Mary Poppins was nominated for many, Best Picture,
so
a lot of, if not all of the
best
music.
Actress.
So Best Actress, what else?
They may throw them a best song nomination, but that category is also very steeply packed, and I'm not sure, but I don't think they actually got a nomination at the Golden Globes for best music. So no, they did not. They didn't get a best song. They got a best original score, mm-hmm. and you know, best actress, and then they got a best actor from him, and well, that's not happening at the Academy Award. I mean, I hate to break it to Lynn, but he is not joining that EGOT club. Not right away. He will.
What about costume, makeup, anything like that?
Potentially, but it was. I guess maybe costumes might, but I think that it'll get might get nominated, but I don't think it wasn't so, good enough to win.
Last question: do you think this movie? For you mentioned that you really, as a child, you loved the original Mary Poppins.
I did.
Do you think, you know, kids the age of our kids, are they going to love this movie in the same way?
Not the number that kind of grew up loving the original. My son really liked it, but I've noticed he had conversations with some of, you know, when we were out with some of his friends, he's eight, and some of his other second grade kids, and he'd say, they'd be talking about movies they'd seen, and one kid in particular said, oh man, Spider-Man and Spider-Verse are so good, and my son was like, have you seen the new Mary Poppins? He's like, no. And then that conversation ended, you know, because it's like he had no interest. And so I think they're going to be a big shrug, a big like, meh, because I just don't think, for whatever reason, I don't think many of them have seen the original as we did. I think that sort of faded over because you got a lot more options of movies that children, sure. even classic movies, you know, and even parents that want to expose their kids to movies they love, Mary Poppins sort of every year falls further and further down the list because you've gotten, you know, you want a Toy Story, Toy Story 2, you know, Shrek. You got all these other movies that you can show them to where, eh. You know,
in some ways, it's a forgotten classic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's lost a bit of its. And I think that's true for any movie that came. And, you know, and look, a movie that came out in 64, so now we're talking 54 years later. It had an incredible run. But it is hard to maintain relevancy going into now, you know, nearing 60 years later. Only a handful of films have been able to do it and kind of keep that sort of a hold on people. And some of that, for better or worse, you know, the ones that have been able to keep that kind of hold on people, they're seen on television. They sort of have a tradition like Wizard of Oz, which comes on TV every year, and it's sort of, you know, always in the background of our lives. Disney, for better or worse, has controlled the release of their films, and sometimes it means they've controlled the audience for their films inadvertently.
So, do you feel like it was a movie worthy of your last 10, though?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I think it was. I mean, it'll be a movie that my family will reference and see, because we enjoyed it. But I don't think, as far as the larger cultural conversation, it's going to make much of a dent.
Right. So, may not be a movie that is really mentioned much during the Academy Awards, or even if it is, not one that will come away with a lot of the hardware. But it's been sort of a tradition for us on this podcast to talk about Oscar predictions. And is that Mary Poppins Return was maybe sort of an Oscar-baity movie. It seemed to be a good idea to fold those predictions into this episode where Brian was sharing his thoughts about Mary Poppins Return. So, our top five, Brian, are going to be your top five predictions for this year's Oscars. And the idea behind that is that your fifth prediction is the one that you are, of these five, the least sure about. And the number one prediction is obviously the one that you're the most sure about, or the most confident in, for this year's
Oscars. Now, you asked me to predict winners or predict nominees, or just whatever I want.
Whatever predictions, however you define that, it might be something that's nominated, something that's going to win, just what you think are the surest bets surrounding the Oscars.
Okay. let's see. Number one, my first prediction, and this is my least confident. Then I'll go ahead and since we're already on the category on the subject, I'll say I'm going to predict Emily Blunt sneaks in for a Best Actress nomination. I'm not at all confident, but I think she will sneak in for it.
All right. So what's your number four prediction?
My number four prediction is that Lady Gaga will win an Oscar. Guaranteed, well, not guaranteed, but I'm fairly confident. But the one I know she will be for Best Original Song.
Yeah, see that would have been my number one prediction.
Yeah, Shallow will win. I think. I'm not 100%.
What could
sure
upset it? Do you think?
I don't know what other song. I mean, you know, sometimes they put Best Original Song winds up being in a couple of recent years. It's a song that plays over the credits. That, you know, most people don't hear. But there's some song. There's a song by Kendrick Lamar on the Black Panther soundtrack. If Black Panther gets some momentum, it could carry over and bleed over into other categories as well. And okay. I don't think, you know, Kendrick Lamar, Oscar winner, is not, he's already won a Pulitzer. So, and I think the credibility of that isn't that far of a stretch. So,
right. That's
a possibility depending on and if there is a legitimate Lady Gaga backlash, which there could be.
Yeah, maybe at the Golden Globes,
a
little bit of that.
I do feel like part of that was, it did feel like at the Golden Globes, it was sort of a know your place.
Yeah.
And I mean, it just felt like a bit of a scold to her to say, no, not yet.
So that sows some doubt, perhaps, on her Academy of chances for Best Actress, but maybe Best Song in your mind, too. What's your third prediction, one you are reasonably confident in?
I believe that Roma by Alfonso Cuarón will win Best Foreign Language Picture, which will break the drought or break through the win circle for Netflix, which is, because it's Best Foreign Language, it may go under... noticed, but to me may wind up being one of the bigger stories from this Oscars is Netflix kind of taking over and getting that credibility they so obviously desperately want.
And that feels like, yeah, the floodgates could potentially open.
Well, they have sort of like compromised, and they had a theatrical run for the films that they wanted to try to push into awards contenders. They did the same thing for the Coen Brothers movie, which that came and went, and nobody really got. It was not the success that maybe the Coens had hoped for, or Netflix. But Roma
but
seems
very
to have been
critically acclaimed too.
Success. Huh?
The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Very critically acclaimed though. I've heard lots
of
good things
about it. Yeah, and I watched it and I enjoyed the first bit. Well, this is a side note, but it felt like the Coen Brothers doing their version of Quentin Tarantino's Hateful Eight.
Felt a little too
like stylized violence for them. Like they've never been afraid of it, but it's never been quite that. It just didn't feel tonally consistent with their other work.
Right. Well, let's move on to your number two prediction, one that you have a great deal of confidence in.
I have not seen the movie. But from everything I feel like Regina King is going to win an Oscar for If Beale Street Could Talk. It's weird to think that the girl, the daughter from 227, is now going to be...
Oscar winner.
Oscar winner. In addition to, like, an Emmy darling. It seems like every year she either is nominated or has won now lately. And she's also, like, she's directed several things now. So she's turned into a powerhouse career. But I feel like the momentum is carrying her away. I think so. That's where I am with her. That's my number two. I feel fairly confident about that.
All right, and the one you feel even more confident of, your number one prediction, without a doubt, you think this will happen at this year's Oscars is?
I mean, I'm ready to be wrong, but I think Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is the best animated feature of the year. I think it'll be close race. I think. But Wreck-It Ralph 2 didn't really seem to hit the sort of cultural zeitgeist that the first one did. It felt a little too, even though it had some elements to it that were wonderful and really spoke to the moment, the moment with the princesses and all that, could have really been parlayed or kind of folded into a Me Too moment type thing of elevating women in their role and reinterpreting what the Disney princesses are and can be. It had that potential, but it just didn't get there.
Well, I don't want you to say too much more about Into the Spider-Verse because that would take
that's
away
where we're going.
From our next episode, Brian's 9,992nd movie is Into the Spider-Verse. And so, friends, we'll leave it there then with this top five and come back in another week or two with some of Brian's and my reflections since I've seen this movie of the newest Spider-Man release. But until then, thank you once again for downloading, listening to us ramble on about Mary Poppins Returns and Oscar predictions and everything else as Brian continues to try to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40. You can follow us on Twitter at 10kmovies, T-E-N-K movies, or on Brian's blog, 10kmovies.com. Until next time, we hope your week is a 10.
10 plus.
Borderline 11.